This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How you doing, Nick?
Good. How you guys doing?
I hear that it was about 2 or 3 Halloweens ago you dressed up as Ghost Rider.
Well, it was very very brief. Yeah. It was for fun, yeah. I always liked the character.
Was it the top of the list? Who did the makeup for you, or the costume for you?
I don't recall that. I mean, it happened very quickly, and it's not what you're thinking. it's not that. I mean, it was really just a slapdash kind of. Fun thing that we did.
Those photos.
No, that wasn't that.
No. Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah, that was like no.
Shit.
No.
Well, no, I heard it was like Halloween or something.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was just at home in my house. I had a Halloween party, and it was just Halloween party costume. That's all.
Everyone knows that you love the genre.
Yeah.
You love comic books. Obviously, your son's name is Kal-El, and you're doing Ghost Rider. Is it true that, how much input from early on, because you were attached before Mark was, that you set the tone for this project?
Yeah, I was with the project when Steve Norrington was still attached, and that was a much darker interpretation. David Goyer wrote the script, and it was a good script, and I'm sure Norrington would have done an amazing job. But I think when Mark came on board and he wrote this version, I think it opened up the character to a wider audience. I want the kids to go see the movie. And so, yeah, there are some scary moments in it, but more like scary like a 1950s, you know, Vincent Price B-movie, which is fun. And I don't want them to be too scared. So the spirit of it is I wanted to be very playful, and there's a lot of humor in the movie. The character is absurd, you know. He's an absurdist character, and I think that's a good thing, because that gives me a chance to bring comedy to it as well. He's not a chain smoking, hard drinking badass, because what I wanted to contribute was that Johnny was trying to keep the devil away, because he really is in trouble with the devil. So if that's the case, then why bring him in? So he's trying to deflect and stay relaxed by listening to Karen Carpenter and eating jelly beans out of a martini glass, and just trying to stay calm, because he knows at any moment it could creep up on him.
Would you say that that's the... Every Marvel character has some kind of theme. Stan always imbued his characters or something, whether it's, you know, the loser-turned-hero, whatever. You look at Ghost Rider and you're like, what are kids going to take away from this? Is it fighting their demons, or is it, you know...
Yeah, well, that's what's really exciting about it, because in a way I could argue that the responsibility here is bigger than even the responsibility I have with World Trade Center, because with World Trade Center, you know, you could pick or choose whether or not you were going to take the kids to it, but in this case, the kids are going to want to go see Ghost Rider, and their minds are so impressionable, and so what I wanted to make clear was, no matter how much trouble you get into, you can always take a negative and turn it into a positive. And that's what I think, that's the spirit of Johnny Blaze. He's a man who's dealing with the biggest, worst kind of trouble. His soul has been abducted by the devil. I mean, that's as big as it gets. And yet he's figuring out a way to turn it around and turn it into something positive. And so I was thinking, like, kids that might get in trouble at school, or they're at the principal's office and they know they're in a world of trouble, they can find some way to make the best out of it and do something good from it, no matter how bad it gets.
You know, Marvel, aside from the superheroes that they develop, a lot of a faction of their superheroes are monsters. Were you into kind of those monster books and stuff?
Yeah, those are my favorites. I don't know why, I just gravitated towards the monsters. I like the Hulk and I like Ghost Rider the best. And it's really where I got into reading. I just thought, you know, it was such an exciting, complicated universe. I didn't know how something so scary could be also good. And that appealed to my own complicated way of seeing things. And And that made it unique. And even when I became a film actor, I'm always gravitating towards characters that are gray. They're not just black or white. They're beleaguered, and yet they're trying to do something good with whatever the trouble is.
Can you remember back to your first experience with Ghost Rider, when you sort of first happened upon it?
Yeah, I was living in Long Beach, California, and I was about 7 years old, and I went to the market around the corner in the neighborhood, and I saw it on the stand, and there was this flaming skull, and it was really colorful, and it's the first one, and he was on the bike, and he was coming right at you, and I bought it, and I took it home, and I remember just staring at the cover and in my room by myself for like hours. And my older brother was like, what's the matter with Nicholas? He's staring at this comic book for hours. And I don't know why, I just thought it was trippy and scary and cool. And it appealed to me.
Back then, though, as a kid, though, what was it that you identified with? Why did you identify with him particularly?
Well, because I think I identified with him because he was a scary character, and I was trying to comprehend how something, like I said, how something scary could also be good. Because I, as a boy, grappled with nightmares and things like that, so I was trying to get control of the nightmares by maybe making friends with them. So Ghost Rider was like the perfect way to do that, because here was a nightmare who was also a friend.
Did you stick with it through the 90s when Mark Texier and all those guys resurrected the Ghost Rider character?
I did not.
Gave it a whole new look and stuff? No.
I didn't, no. Mark Steven Johnson did. He was really aware of all the different versions of the character. I was really about the 70s character as a boy, and that's what stayed with me. I really like the iconography, the flaming skull in a leather jacket is the coolest image of all. You know, it's like, and I knew that when technology got to a level where it could become visually palatable, that Ghost Rider would translate really beautifully to film.
What was your initial reaction when you saw like a final CG'd Ghost Rider?
I was thrilled. I thought Kevin Mack did a brilliant job and his whole team, and because it could have been really goofy, and instead it's gorgeous. You know, I think that what he did with the fire, which we all know is the hardest thing to create with digital effects, is excellent, because it's real and yet it's more than real. It's abstract and larger than life, and then to make a skull expressive is also difficult, because there's no lips to move with, so you have to find ways of making that also expressive, and he did a great job with that as well.
Talk about the skull a little bit. Mark said that was actually your skull that they used to make the impression. How did that with you? How was that with you in terms of getting that capture from you?
They had to do it digitally. They put the sensors on me and they graft my skull somehow with x-ray. I don't know how they do it, but they did it, and that's me. It's just kind of weird.
Was that
the trippy?
Were they still for an hour or two, or how long did it take?
You have to be still for a couple of hours, and they have to just scan the whole thing and get it.
How peculiar is it, those sort of hanging around and having to do scenes with this kind of green hood on this kind of green ski mask?
Yeah, well, there's no way around it not feeling silly. It's silly. It just is.
Did you hold on to your original Ghost Rider comic books?
I still have them.
Do you really do?
Yeah. I kept those. I framed them, and I have them in a certain room in my house, because I knew somehow this was going to happen, so I want to hold on to those.
Have you shown it to your son at all?
My oldest son. My youngest son hasn't seen it yet.
Was going to work on this film different than all the other films you've worked on just because of your love of the character?
It was, because it was new. You know, it's no secret that I've been trying to get involved in a comic book film for a while, and for whatever reasons, it just kept not coming together, and in this case it did, so this was the one that was meant to be, and I was really excited that it was this one, because this one was personal. You know, I gravitated towards Ghost Rider as a child, and the Hulk, and so I was thrilled to be doing it. Plus, you know, I grew up watching those Vincent Price monster movies, and I really loved the whole, like, Monster magazine stuff that was out there back in the 70s, and I wanted to bring that flavor to the movie as well, where I would get really excited that I was making a monster movie, you know, and I had not done that before. Something that was funny and scary.
Mark, in one of his video blogs, called you Lon Chaney. How does it feel? I mean, like, just to hear him, you know, just saying, oh, yeah, Nick is the next Lon Chaney. That's why, you know, why I'm so glad to see him play.
Well, Lon Chaney was a genius, and I don't compare myself to him, but I do aspire to want to use different looks and different, you know, I think it's important to, like Lon Chaney, to try to transform your face or your hair or anything you can use as an actor to create a new look is all part of your craft. Your voice, the way you move. And a lot of times people, many actors, and it's a choice, get stuck in one persona, which has been proven to work for them. And that's okay. It's fun even, but it would really bore me. So I think what he was saying by Lon Chaney was that I want to try to create the whole character, physically and emotionally.
Has this quenched your desire to do a superhero film, or has it only fueled it to do more?
No, I'm satisfied. I mean, I think this was the one, and I've done this now. And unless there was a really great script to a sequel, I've probably done what I've had to do in terms of doing a comic book movie. I would come back and do another one if there was a great script for it.
No, wasn't there something posted that you were attached to a Virgin comic?
Oh, yeah. Well, my son, Weston, has developed a character, Enigma, which deals with also spiritual elements in New Orleans back during the Civil War. And this is something that we went to Richard Branson's company, and Deepak and Gautam Chopra, they were excited by it, so they've committed to doing 5 issues of it. It's really Weston's character.
So it's a comic book, but is it being shopped around for a feature film, or?
Well, that's what my hopes are for it. We're going to start with the graphic. I'm going to start with a comic book and then maybe a graphic novel. And when we get that, then if it works, then I would try to develop a script from it. That's the idea.
How much of the motorbiking is? Did you do a lot of your own stunt stuff? And
I did a lot of it, but I didn't do all of it.
You're a big biker.
Yeah, I enjoy riding. I haven't been riding for some time though, since my youngest son has been born. I really want to try to. I don't want to, you know, be the kind of role model that inspires them to get on motorcycles. And you know, I'm looking more towards, hopefully he'll maybe try sailing or something. but I do enjoy riding motorcycles.
Did you ever to a point where Mark was worried that you were going to sort of get to a point where he was saying no, you can't do that?
No, it wasn't like that. The only thing is, my character was really mostly on Grace, the chopper, and that bike isn't really my kind of bike. I prefer more the race bikes, like Ducatis or Yamaha R1s, and I like that whole cyborg thing where you become man and machine, and the bike does exactly what you think. I love that. But Grace is a 70s chopper, which is, you know, it's got a front rake that's really rigid, and it doesn't corner, and it's just a point-and-shoot bike. And that doesn't turn me on. I want to get into corners, and I want to drag my knee and do all that.
Do you collect motorcycles? Do you have those?
I used to. I don't anymore. I used to have a pretty interesting library of motorcycles.
What's kind of the pride of your collection?
The pride is I have something called a Bakker Barracuda, which came out of the Netherlands, which is really unusual. I had one of those. And then some of the early cafe racers, I don't have those anymore. And then I really did like the Yamaha R1, believe it or not. And I have some Harleys that I really like.
Did they give you the Ghost Rider bike?
They didn't. They were supposed to give me that Hell Cycle, and I was going to put it in New Orleans, and I never got it, so I don't know what happened.
Okay, but do you still collect comic books?
I don't, no, I don't. I still like them. I like the idea of them, and as you know, Weston and I are developing that character. I want to be more involved with the creating of them as opposed to the collecting of them.
So, do you see yourself maybe writing something for Marvel or DC or anything, or
not in the immediate future, but I wouldn't rule it out. Yeah.
Did you ever write your own comic books as a kid?
I did. I used to. Well, it's really kind of horrible, but I used to destroy my comics with scissors and cut all the characters out and then glue them onto my notebook and then write what they were saying and reconfigure them and make my own comics.
So you used other characters? You didn't make, like, Nicolas Cage Presents, you know?
There was some of that going on, too, yeah. But it was Nicolas Coppola back then.
You can't remember what the characters were, some of the characters?
I had a character that was based on the Spirit, which I just called Spirit, and he was a kind of a superhero with a boomerang. Weird.
How did you save any of those?
I wish I had them. I don't know where those are. That would be a good one to pull out of the closet right now.
Is Weston comic book crazy?
He likes comics, yeah. Yeah. Well, we all do in my family. Francis likes comics. My dad liked comics. It's just... It's American mythology.
Some of the behind-the-scenes footage that's been going up on Mark's blogs showed you doing a take where they actually set your feet on fire during the transformation. Yeah. Did they just pad you up from, like, the feet up to the knee?
Yeah. Yes. And they put that sort of chemical on that burns without burning you.
Right. Cool. I was surprised to see that. I was just like, shit, feet
are on fire. You mentioned if the story was good, doing a sequel. Where could you see the Ghost Rider going in a second film?
Well, I think there's a line in the movie somewhere where Johnny Blaze says to the police force that he really admires the job they do, and that when he finishes his stunt cycle career, he intends to apply his skills as a motorcycle policeman. So I can sort of see Johnny Blaze, a bike, super bike cop, biker cop.
You know. Flaming Bad.
Yeah, Flaming Bad.
I was going to say segue into the beginning of Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly.
You didn't trade bike stories then with the Easy Rider himself.
That would be great.
Did you talk to...
Oh, did I talk to Peter about... Oh, yeah. Yeah, he still rides. He's still into it.
I was looking into... You have a lot of stuff that you're attached to, and I wanted to know if you could kind of clarify
what
you're working on in the future.
Well, the things that you read on the IMDb are sometimes confused because in the sense that... everything that I'm attached to, I'm not necessarily attached to as an actor. Because I have a production company, Saturn Films, it's my job and my partner's job to try to get as much material as we can into the company to develop possibly for other actors or to produce or even to direct. But there isn't really a greenlit on any of these films yet. It's just stuff that we have in our catalog. So currently I'm wide open. I'm not sure exactly what the next film would be, although it's looking like National Treasure 2.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So that's definitely happening.
Yeah, well, it's being written as we speak, but the hope is that it's going to be happening.
And it's something about Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln and Confederate gold and the assassination, and it's interesting stuff. I mean, it's what I like about the National Treasure potential as a series is that it deals with history and it's also entertaining, and that's always a good thing. I mean, there are worse things to do than to stimulate young people's minds about history as you're entertaining them.
Are you going to do it sort of Indiana Jones style was like a prequel, because by the end of National Treasure, you were a billionaire.
Well, actually, not a billionaire. I think he gave most of the money to. Didn't he get? He gave the treasure to the different museums around the world.
He's got, but he goes and he's got that huge house.
You only got 1% or something.
Yeah, 1%. Right.
Okay, so you're a multimillionaire.
I'm not sure what they're going to do about that.
Your character seemed like he would be into actually searching out for other mysteries.
Yeah, I think so.
Even with the money.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like about it. He's kind of like a historical detective and a treasure hunter.
Everyone's still attached from the first film?
Yeah.
Except for Sean Bean, I heard, right? Maybe Sean's not coming back?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it's going to work just yet.
Now, aren't you doing Crazy Dog or some?
Yeah, well, that's something that I've been developing for a year now. So that's an interesting character.
Are you shooting that at some time soon? Or?
That would be in Manhattan, and if it does happen, it would happen within this year coming up, next year actually.
5 more minutes.
This was your first time working with Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
He was my
neighbor for the longest time.
Oh, really?
He used to live behind me in Malibu.
So you guys just got along on set.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Sam's his character? Can you explain, I mean, what your character has in relationship to his?
Well, a lot, and I don't want to give it away, but it's a lot. You know, I mean, but Sam's character is the caretaker, and he's the one that really understands the mythology, understands the history of the Ghost Rider, and sort of is the mentor to the Ghost Rider, and explains to Johnny Blaze what his problem is and what he's in danger of, what can happen to him. But there is a reveal that is bigger than that.
Getting this done, take away any of the disappointment you may have had from the Superman project on the offer you?
No. From the Superman project.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'm not disappointed by that at all. I'm a big believer that things that are meant to be are meant to be, and I don't hold on to things. I mean, I let things go when they don't work out. And I also believe that the right cast for a movie is the one that usually winds up in the movie. And I think that the Superman movie that came out was a good movie, and it's a very nostalgic movie. But I'm not interested in repeating things. I would rather, and I was going to turn that character on its ear, which maybe would not have, obviously wasn't what the studio wanted, because they went with a more traditional approach. Ghost Rider, for me, is a better match because it gives me a chance to do the unique approach to things that I want to do and to maybe introduce a character to a wider audience. There's a hardcore group of Ghost Rider fans, and I want them to be very happy, but I also want to introduce Ghost Rider to the mainstream who don't know who he is.
Do you understand their frustration when they voice it on the web and they say, oh, you know, Mark screwed up by doing this, or they're changing the mythology for that reason? I mean, do you understand where they're coming from? I mean,
I mean, that's...
You just wish they would just go, you know, just let it go, man.
I mean, that's their identity. Yeah. You know, you can't tell them to let it go. That's what gives them something to get excited about. Even if it means they don't want to be excited about the movie, that makes them excited. They've got to complain about something. I mean, that's part of the fun of being a comic book fan. No, complain all you want. Have at it. You know, like, go see it and then complain some more if you want. Let's talk.
Yeah, what's the message you want to give the fans out there that might be a little on the edge, not sure of the way that, because they haven't seen a whole lot of it?
I think my message is go check out the whole thing and then let's talk.
Will there be an action figure that looks like you, or will it just be the Flaming Skull?
I have no idea. I don't. We'll see. I'll probably get freaked out in Toys R Us one day.
Ghost Rider related question really quick. Because Saturn Films was involved with Wicker Man, what did you ultimately feel about the film when all is said and done? Did Robin Hardy ever get a chance to see it?
I have no idea. I don't know if he saw it or not. You know, I'm a fan of the original, and I'm glad I made the movie because they don't make movies like that anymore, and probably the result of what Wicker Man did is the reason why they don't make movies like that anymore, because it's really kind of it's like a 70s sensibility. But I'm trying to do things that are outside the box, and sometimes that means it will work, and sometimes it means it won't. And again, I'm going to try to learn from everything I do. I think it was a great cast. I Neil LaBute is one of the easiest directors I've ever worked with. He really loves actors, and he really gives you a relaxed feeling on the set that you can achieve whatever it is you're trying to put together. But at the end of the day, the frustration I have with The Wicker Man, which I think has been remedied on the DVD, because I believe the DVD should have the director's original cut, is that they cut the horror out of the horror film to try to get it a PG-13. And, I mean, I don't know how to stop something like that. So I'm not happy with the way the picture ended, but I'm happy with the spirit with which it was made.
Go ahead.
Last question.
Well, I mean, you say that you want to do movies that are outside the box and that kind of thing. And in spite of your cachet as a star or an actor, have you perceived yourself? Do you find that increasingly hard to do?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's it's frustrating for people who work with me. You know, people that try to help me make decisions, because I don't always want to conform, and so that can sometimes mean box office disasters. But I'm really of the opinion that there's two reasons why a movie gets bad reviews. One, because it's bad, and two, because it's so good they're not ready for it. And so it's important to get caught up in it's important not to get caught up in accolades and things that would have you stagnate as an artist. It's important to constantly be willing to risk it all, because that's the only way you're going to learn, and the only way you're going to have any integrity in what you're doing. And that's why I feel good about The Wicker Man, because I do think I risked it, and so did Neil LaBute, and so did everybody else involved with it. But it's there, you know, and most people, if it wasn't there, you know, there's a strong chance movies that are independently minded won't be made anymore, because everything's going sequels, and everything's going hamburgers and sales, and you know, and that's what people want right now. So I feel like it's my duty to keep rocking the boat, good or bad. All right, thank you.